So I have the message, but before I get into the message that he gave me this week, and it was an amazing message, mm-hmm. he gave me something here today when we were praying. And I felt to go on my knees, because if you're in ministry, sometimes you think you can have an attitude. You can think you're a bit better. You can think you're smarter. You can think you're closer to God. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And you can get in a lot of trouble with that. Mm-hmm. There can be pride. And I got on my knees and I just said, only a vessel. And I could feel that truth. Mm-hmm. I'm only a vessel. And then he said, and a friend.
Hallelujah.
And one I died for. Amen. And my bride.
Hallelujah.
That's the amazing paradox of God. We're only vessel. We're made of earth and clay. And yet we're his bride. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wanted to talk to us about today. Being his expectant bride. Mm-hmm. A bride expecting his return. He gave me a revelation that was so intense, so powerful, so amazing this week, when I just before I was going to sleep. And what he showed me is this, is that he has, my father, your father, Baba, has given us away as a bride to his very own son.
Hallelujah.
As a bride to his son. He's given us away. Our own Father has done this. And I want us to go to Ephesians 1:7. I have quite a few scriptures on the board that I just wrote there that I will use, but you can write them down later, just so that you have them as references. And Betty, would you mind reading Ephesians 1:7 for us, please?
Ephesians 1:7.
Yes, do you mind? I've got it here. Or I can read it. I'll read it. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And it is through that that we become his bride when we come to faith.
Ephesians
1:7.
Okay.
And it's the depth of his love that he shows through that redemption, the shedding of his own blood, that allows us to be a bride for his son. His own son's blood redeems us. And he wants us to look at what we need to expect when we are a bride of Christ. What do we expect? First, he showed me that for me and for everyone who is a true believer in Jesus, our Father, he really wants you to get this, our Father has given us away as a bride to his son. That's the connection. That's the family that we belong to. And he wanted to have us see that there are things that are expected of us as a bride. And one of the first ones is in 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, where it talks about our being set apart. You don't have to look for all of these. You can just listen. You can look at them later, because I'm going to read them anyway. I'm going to read them anyway to you, so you don't need to, because it'll be too many. So in 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, he says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We are sons and daughters given away as a bride to his son.
Amen.
That's what he wants us to understand.
Amen.
And there are great expectations that he places upon us and gives us with that position that we have. We're to be separated from the world, separated from our own flesh, separated from wanting what's not ours anymore. The world's not ours. We don't belong to the world. We belong to him. And he wants us to make a choice. That's every day. Not just once in a while, not just when we first got saved, not when we go to church. Oh, I made a good choice. I went to church. He doesn't care how many times you go to church if you don't love him.
Amen.
He doesn't care. It means nothing. There's no eternal value in going through the motions of being a Christian. It is only in being His, fully submitted to Him.
Powerful.
Giving ourselves completely to His desire, to His will. And there's all those scriptures, and I do want to go through some of them, or most of them, actually. Rather than read them all, I'm just going to let you know what they are, and because they're up on the board anyway, it doesn't really matter. You can take those later. In Hebrews, he tells us that we can expect, he expects us to stay out of the world. He also expects us to boldly come to Him when we mess up. And we went to the world. And we thought the world was going to love us. And we thought the world was going to give us all our goodies. And we got the right furniture. We got the right job. We got the right husband. All the things we thought were going to make us happy. And were the right things. And we found out they weren't. Then he says, boldly come into my throne of grace. Boldly. Because you belong to my Son. Amen. You're His bride. Amen. And the bridegroom's waiting. The bridegroom wants us to get cleaned up. Amen. So that we can be received. When He comes back. And He's coming back. And He's coming back for us.
Amen.
To be clean and holy and righteous. And not just on the outside. We've got to remember that we can't fool God. If we look okay on the outside to other people, but in the inside, we're rotten. He said to us today when we were praying before some of the people came, an undivided heart. He wants undivided hearts. How are we going to marry Jesus if our heart's divided? We got half ourselves in the world going, hey, oh, I want to have some of this. That looks good. That makes me happy. I want money. I want position. I want people to think I'm really special. Or whatever it is that we're desiring. And then expect Jesus to scoop us up out before the tribulation, before the worst time the world has ever seen, to scoop us up, and we're not even clean. We're not even dressed in our bride gown. We're still over here in the world thinking that this is going to satisfy us. That is not what He wants. That is not what He wants. He's expecting. The amazing thing, when He gave me that statement, the expectant bride, He wants us to be expectant of His coming, and He expects something of us for us to have that, or we won't have it. And we'll go to another verse, and this one is in Hebrews 12, verse 6. If you want to go, you can, but I'm going to read it anyway. So you don't have to rush through it unless you have it quickly there. He says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons." We have to be chastened. We don't like it. No one likes it. The child doesn't like having a smack on their bottom either. Or a teenager doesn't like being told off, no, you can't go out because you did the wrong thing. We don't like it either. But if we're not chastened, we are not going to be that bride that He returns for. Amen. That's the truth. And it hurts. It hurts to be chastened because there's pride involved. And we have to. That's one of our worst enemies. I was listening today to somebody who's talking about there was a principality over their city, and this is what helped all these men of God fall. And I thought, if we do not submit to our flesh, no principality can have us. It's only when we give in to us, when we give in to our own selfish desires, that anything can control us. Satan can't have us. We don't belong to him. He just runs around roaming, roaring, scaring people, lying to people, planting ideas in your head, but he can't have you.
Amen.
Unless you go, all right, I like that, and you join up with him.
Amen.
So we're not his victims.
Amen.
We are the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And we have to remember that.
Yes.
He also, I'm also going to read another one in John 14, 23, but don't worry, please don't worry about going really fast, because I know we have limited time, and so if I'm reading them for you, that's...
Don't worry about
it. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just let me do it for you. Now, Jesus said, he was speaking to his disciples, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, And we will come into him and make our abode, our house, with him. God expects us to demonstrate our love for him by action.
Yes.
Not just the action of going to a church or tithing or saying a couple of prayers here and there. Our action is our whole heart.
Amen.
He once said to me when I was a brand new believer and I was being told off that, oh, you didn't tithe enough. I was a single mother. I hardly had money to feed my child. And I was told off, the reason you're poor is you're not tithing enough. And I was shocked because I was scared. And I thought, oh, am I in trouble? Am I in trouble? Have I done something wrong? I've been a Christian maybe 6 months. And I went on my knees and I went at my bed and I said, Father, I don't want to be doing anything wrong. And you know what he said to me? Tithe your heart.
Amen.
I want your heart. I want your heart. Amen. You could give me $1 million without your heart. You're nothing. I can't even be with you.
Amen.
That's what he wants, our hearts. That's what he died for, our hearts.
Oh, yes.
Not a bit of change, our hearts. And then the other side of this is amazing. Okay, he expects us to demonstrate our love by action. Not only living holy, but also seeking the lost. Caring about those that are really hurting. Forgiving those that have hated us. That's some of our action. On the other side of it, and this is in John 17:23, he says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I think this is the most amazing truth that Jesus prayed just before he was arrested. He said to the Father, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me.
Amen.
Loved the same as he loves his son. He loves us the same as he loves Jesus. He doesn't go, oh, there's Jesus. Oh, yes, I really love him. I really love him. Oh, there's that person. Oh, well, I'll love him a little. The same. The same. Why do you think he said it? It's the same love. And then that love transfers into what? Him saying, now you are my bride. I give you away. The Father says, I love you the same as I love my son, Jesus Christ. And I give you away as his bride for him when he comes. Because I love you the same as I love him.
Amen.
And if we get that, we will care about those other people that are right now are strangers to us. We will care about their lives. We'll care that they're hurting. We'll care that they're dying. We'll care that they're condemned, that they're headed for destruction. We will care. We will care about their eternal souls.
Yes.
Enough to step out in that action that he asked us to do. He said to us, he said, the two of these go completely together. What he said in John 14:23 goes completely together with John 17:23. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Keeping his words means you're obeying them.
Yes.
You're doing them. Not just, oh, I've memorized it. No, I've got to walk it. Because faith without works is dead. Means nothing. It's just on your shelf. Means nothing. If it's just about you and you have a little faith in Jesus, means nothing. Your faith won't be alive until you start acting on it and walking and putting feet on your faith.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we're meant to do. He also says this. We can expect to be persecuted. And I'm just going to go to 2 Timothy 3:12. And again, let me just read it for you. We can expect to be persecuted. This is a promise. Yes, he says, Paul said to Timothy, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We must expect it. We must ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us so we can endure it, because it hurts. We must ask him, help me to rejoice in it. I've had so much persecution, mostly from the church. It is painful. And sometimes you don't want to rejoice. And you have to be that honest with God. I don't know how to rejoice in this. This hurts, Daddy. Help me, please. Because I don't want to keep helping these people that keep persecuting me. He wants us to go through that. If we're willing to endure persecution, he will make us a sweet-smelling aroma.
Amen.
He will turn us into something we never knew we could be. We will be love. We will be walking love in this world. We will be love walking down the street. And we can't do it without him. We have to ask him. We boldly go into that throne room. We're his bride. We don't have to hold back and pretend I'm a good little Christian and I'm doing it all right. We're doing it wrong a lot of times all through the day. Let's just be honest. Lord, I haven't got it right. I want to be more like you. My pride's in the way. Yank it out of me. Whatever it is that we've got that's a stumbling block, we've just got to give it to him because we haven't got a lot of time. We're wasting on cleaning ourselves up. We need to give it to him so he can clean us.
Amen.
Because he said, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He does the cleansing. We do the confessing. We confess it, and then he helps us on our way. And then he cleanses us. That confession is turning ourselves around back to him. It's repenting to him, saying, I really need your help, and I mean it. Then he does the cleaning. He changes us. He transforms. The Holy Ghost transforms us from glory to glory. He's the one who does it. Only him. We can't transform ourselves. We can only put ourselves on the altar of grace and go, cut away, like you said. Cut away with that sword of truth and get me right. Turn me into what I'm meant to be. He also wants us to know that we can expect to be mocked. It says in 2 Peter 3:3-4. We can expect to be mocked. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Most people in the West don't even think there's God, a good percentage anyway, and they certainly think we're ridiculous for believing he's coming back for us. So we expect that they're going to mock us and say, oh, you're such a, you're one of the, I had somebody say to me one day, oh yes, some people need that kind of nice little belief system. And I didn't think of this at the moment, and God actually, the Holy Spirit told me not to say anything to this person. But later, after this person left, this is what
Second,
he gave me.
2 Peter 3,
3-4.
Oh.
Sorry, I got the wrong one there. It's written down here. Okay. Afterwards, you know what the Lord said to me? This is what I could have said, or this is what to say, and I did say it later to someone else, that it's not a nice little belief system, Christianity. Christianity is the ultimate offer of the living God to all of humanity for complete freedom for eternity. But not everyone will take him up on it. Because if you take him up on it, your pride will have to die. And that's a hard death.
That's true.
And even as Christians, we still have it. We still have pride. And we can watch ourselves and see it.
Yes. Is that why we repent, sister? Is that why every time we repent? You know this body which we are wearing?
Yes.
Something terrible.
The flesh.
Yes.
Okay, the flesh. This is what he says. He says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. We have to learn how to walk in
yes.
the spirit. And one of the things he also showed me recently is in a scripture that says this. That old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. What we do is we try to make the old things new. But the old things passed away.
Amen.
And we are made new. We can't
Hallelujah.
Hold on to the old.
Hallelujah.
That's the problem. We hold on to the old and try to make it new. But that passed away. It's gone.
Yes.
It's gone. And that's part of how we are his bride as well. We let those old things go. We really let them go. Also in Hebrews 10:16, this is another thing we can expect. And this is a wonderful thing that we can expect from him.
Yeah.
Says this. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. So we used to be, we had the Ten Commandments on two pillars, or two stones, not pillars, two stones, slabs of stone. Now he wrote them. He wrote them. He's written them in our minds. He's putting them in our hearts. Yeah. We can, and that's why what you were saying before is when we do something wrong, we get a sense that this is wrong. Mm-hmm. They're in our hearts. Let alone the Holy Spirit lives there and points to it and goes, remember, that one's not really good.
Yeah.
What you're doing isn't good.
Is
and that means we're being chastened. And that means we're loved. And that means we're his sons and daughters. And that means we were given away as his bride.
When you do something wrong, what is
it for us?
But we don't have to fight it like that. We tend to fight the flesh. It does say that the flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh. We don't have to fight like this is this constant struggle. We just have to yield, give in to him, and the battle's over. As soon as we say, and you notice your pride's coming up, rising up, and you want to get angry with somebody, or you want to be better than somebody else, you immediately go to him. Say, I give it to you, Lord, and there's no more fight. There's no more fight because you gave it to the Lord and Master. He wins.
Amen.
Then in another one that he wants us to expect to have happen to us as his bride, in 2 Corinthians 5:15, it's a wonderful scripture. Mm-hmm. Not like all the world isn't wonderful, but some of them just pierce your heart so deeply at different times. The 2 Corinthians 5:15, listen to this. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
We can expect to be expected to live for him.
Hallelujah.
The one who died for us.
Yes. Yes.
What a small thing to ask. Our lives are so short. Our lives are so fragile. To just let ourselves live for him. Because we're going to be with him for eternity. And he already died for us. It's such a small thing. It's a little in-between thing. His death and eternity in between is our little lives. And that's all he asked for. These lives. Why should we be so selfish with them? And keep them for ourselves. We have no right to. He died and rose again for us. And now gave us away as a bride. And then he also says in John 15:2, he tells us what's going to happen as well. Another expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away.
Mm-hmm.
And every branch that bears fruit, he purges or cleans, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we can expect to have to be cleansed, to be purged, to be pruned. It hurts. It's part of that chastening. Or we'll have no life in us. He says if we don't produce fruit, we're going to be cut off.
Yes.
And that fruit isn't just, you know, doing lots of things. I'm doing things for the Lord and running around doing them and showing everybody how great you are. No, that fruit also is submission, like you were talking about. Submission to him, letting him change your heart, building that character of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, gentleness, long-suffering, the one we dislike the most, the hardest one, to endure when things are hard. He wants us to produce that fruit and the fruit of loving the lost and bringing them home like someone did for us, loved us enough to bring us home. And then another one that we can expect is in 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8. And again, you can just let me read them to you.
Yeah.
Because it just makes it easier and quicker, and then we can get through all the scriptures.
Yeah.
He gave me this once when there was this great temptation that I had fallen for. And all of a sudden, and I didn't even know what the scripture was. He just said, the Holy Spirit just said, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Mm-hmm. And I freaked out when I read it. And this is what it is. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. And it would absolutely cut me, like you said, because the word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cut me. It stopped me right in my tracks.
Hallelujah.
And I'm so thankful he said it to me. And I listened.
Wow. Amen.
And it didn't mean I didn't have issues that I had to deal with, but I knew the truth. And I was going to follow that. And in 8 it says this, He that therefore despises, hates, despises not man but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So if we're going to despise holiness, and that's not being, I'm better than everybody else, that's holiness, being clean before him, being honest before him, being willing to be chastened, being willing to be told off by God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, that he cares enough to tell me off.
Wow.
He's like, you're my child. What do you think that is? That's filth. What are you doing? That's what he. That's how much he cares. Mm-hmm. We've got to be willing to allow him to do that. And that's part of the expectation as his bride.
Amen.
Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, mm-hmm. he says this about being sanctified. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is sanctifying his bride.
Amen.
Making us holy for his bride, for his son. Mm. We are being sanctified. And do you know what the amazing part that he's just showing me right now? He's on our side to win. He wants us to win. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be ready for his son. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God's for us, we got to win.
Amen.
We just got to get out of the way sometimes from tripping ourselves up and be honest about it. And then in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, it talks about how we're meant to walk. Jesus told them. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go through it, because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. That should terrify us. Few find it. Few find it. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way. Jesus' way is not an easy way. People who think we were living on, have a little crutch and it's a nice little belief system, have no idea what it's like to forgive someone you hate and that's hated you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That takes courage. And that takes the Lord. To be able, to enable us to do it. Because I sure can't do it myself. My flesh does not want to love them. But he will love them through me. And he also says this in Ephesians 2:10. We can expect to be about our Father's business while we are here. We're not just sitting waiting for a quick ride to heaven. This is not the waiting room. This is a place where we build the character of God in ourselves so we are ready to be his bride. And it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. He's ordained the things we're meant to do, the good works we're meant to do, before we're even here, let alone before we receive Jesus. So we're meant to be about our Father's business here on earth. Until he calls us home. Mm. That's another part of being the bride. So there's amazing honor and privilege in being his bride. And there is also grave expectations, serious responsibilities. Mm. It's not an easy road. And he says few will find it. I would just pray that we will be those few. And then he says in John 15:7-8, because he gives us all the help we can get to achieve this, to fulfill this journey. John 15:7-8. Mm-hmm. He says that this is how we live this life as his bride in preparation, the expectant bride here on earth. If you abide in me, abide means remain in me, and my words abide or remain in you, You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, people stop there. There's a lot of churches just stop there, and they go, anything you ask, God's going to do. Anything you ask, anything you... No. Listen to what he wants you to ask for and what the consequences are. In 8, herein, after you ask whatever you want and it's done for you, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. The whole reason, the things that we ask for are to bear fruit and glorify the Father here on earth.
Mm. Very good.
And then there's two last ones. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9.
It's a powerful message.
For God has not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise for the bride. You are not appointed to wrath. You're meant to be. He said to his disciples in the Gospels, he said, pray and watch always that you will be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And he showed me that standing. Who stands? Everyone else is on their knees, right? Confessing him. Bowing your knee. Who stands? The bride with the bridegroom stands. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are meant to stand if we're counted worthy. And we pray we're counted worthy by doing what he calls us to do, by being obedient, by allowing the Holy Spirit to take over our lives and not being the ones in charge anymore, but letting God be God in us. So they'll know there is a God. And we'll go home. And the last one is 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And this is the problem. This is what we're waiting for. So we've got the expectant bride, and the prize is eternity. That's our prize. Yeah. Eternity with God. And this is what he says. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the bride. That's our promise. That's our promise.
This is wonderful message.
That's 1 Thessalonians 5. It's on there.
Someone who just missed this message, they missed something important. Me, I'm feeling like I want to pray.
Oh, hallelujah. I pray that those who would receive the love of the truth would come.
This is a powerful message. Powerful.
Yeah, and he gave it to me that night. I had watched this. I'm just going to tell you a little background of it. I watched this little video, and there was this man giving away his daughter at the altar, and he had this amazing speech, and he talked about his daughter, and he talked about God, and he was giving her away to his son-in-law-to-be. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, I wish my father had done that. I wish I'd had a father like that. And you know what the father said to me? I'm your father, and I gave you away to my son.
Hallelujah.
And I just cried myself to sleep in such... honor and value, because that's what he wants us to know. That's how valuable we are. We're valuable enough that his son shed his blood.
Amen.
And we have responsibilities, but we have expectations that God puts on us, but we have an expectation of that prize of eternity, and we're going home. Mm-hmm. If we endure to the end for him. And is he not worth it? Truly, he's worth it.
I'm satisfied. This was the spirit food which can make the our spirit just growing.
Hallelujah. Growing. Hallelujah.
Yes. I'm so happy. I don't know what if something which I feel if someone is feeling like that, but for me,
that's wonderful.
It's amazing.